185. You may remain seated.
Rest in last. about three wooden crosses upon a hill for everyone to see. Two sinners on the outside couldn't save themselves if they tried. All I could think is, man, that sounds like me. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, 'cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. For me, he went through it. A love like that I'll never understand. Lord knows I don't deserve it, and I know I couldn't earn it. The mercy rained down on this desperate man. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, 'cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. The cross is where he went, oh, but that ain't where he stayed. He brought me back to life when he rose up out of that grave. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, 'cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. Thank God for the man on the middle cross.
I'm alive. that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
Good morning. Great to see everyone here this morning for sunrise service. I'm going to kill a few more lights. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of John chapter 20 with me if you would. I want to kind of look at Christ's resurrection a little bit different this morning. It's Easter. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, who came into this world to save it, not to condemn it. So, sometimes people get that a little bit backward. We think God stands in condemnation to us, but He really stands in loving kindness toward us. So, we're going to slowly read through chapter 20 of John this morning. And I want to start at verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb, both running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. And then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand this from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back to where they were staying. So, as we get into this morning, the empty tomb in John's Gospel begins in darkness. Mary is going to the tomb while it was still dark. The other Gospel stories later say, we'll talk, it was daylight when Mary arrived. But she arrives and is jolted with fear because she finds the stone removed from the entrance of the tomb. She runs off, she finds Peter and the other disciple, and frantically tells them someone has taken the Christ. Taken his body, and they don't know where it has gone. Now let me just let you know that this was a very concerning thing back then, because tomb robbery was commonplace, committed by thieves and pirates. So it was reasonable for her to assume someone had done just that. But Peter and the other disciple were alarmed by what she reported. So they all knew the stone had been rolled away. The body was taken. They both get there. They run up to the tomb. The unnamed disciple rises first, bends down, looks in, but pauses. Seeing nothing but the linen lying there, Peter catches up to him. I can always imagine this happening. That one disciple just flat out ran him. Somebody ever beat you somewhere? They look in, they get there, and they're like, they're walking away. You're just getting to that point, and it's like, hey, wait a minute. But it says Peter arrived after him, and he catches up. Peter doesn't just look in. Peter goes straight in to see what's going on. Christ's body gone. Only the strips of linen cloth lying there. Did they take all of this off on purpose? The unnamed disciple then enters the tomb, and he assesses the situation once Peter is inside. But the Scripture says he saw and he believed. But what did he see and what did he believe? He saw the empty tomb. He believed Mary's story had taken of the body being taken. But the next verse indicates they still did not understand at this point that Christ had to rise from the dead. So not only had their Lord been taken or crucified that were in a death that was reserved for criminals and slaves, but now his body had been stolen. It was gone. To them, the story was over. Everyone processes grief differently. But as far as we can tell, neither Peter nor the other disciple offered Mary, who was weeping outside of the tomb, any comfort or support. I'm sure that these two men were grieving in their own way, but according to John, the two disciples simply walked out of the tomb and returned home. They just walked right past Mary, who was sobbing. They did not see or acknowledge her pain. Pick up there in verse 11 this morning, though. This is, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was the Christ. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" thinking he was the gardener, she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. She's at the tomb, she's weeping, she looks back inside, and something's different. She bends down to look inside that tomb. And what does she see? Two angels robed in white, seated where Christ's body had been. Angels ask her what seems to be kind of a ridiculous question. "Woman, why are you crying?" She's convinced that a robbery had taken place. She says, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At that point, Mary turns around and sees someone else. She assumes to be the gardener because she did not recognize him. And the fact that the tomb is situated in a garden made her think this guy has to be the gardener, but it wasn't the gardener. It was her teacher. It was her Lord, her friend. It was Christ. I want to pause here for a second because this is what I want you to understand this morning. Something beautiful is happening in this story that I don't want us to miss. We're going to kind of compare two stories with this morning. John is showing us how Christ's resurrection is a recreation story. He's giving us some hints that point back to both the beginning of his gospel and also to the beginning of Genesis. So how does Genesis open? It says, "In the beginning." John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning." How does Genesis say, what does it say about the earth? It says, "Darkness was over the surface of the deep." And how does that, how does our story open this morning? While it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb. Are you following me? We have darkness in Genesis. We have darkness starting in chapter 20 in the book of John when Mary went to the tomb. And where is she standing? Where is the tomb? It's in a garden. Where does Adam and Eve take place? In a garden. The story of Adam and Eve is one that began with life, but because of sin, ends in death. The story in this garden this morning began with a death, but because of the goodness of God, ends with resurrection life. The resurrection of Christ reverses the curse from Genesis and recreates the world. And what did God do after he removed Adam and Eve from the garden? He placed a flaming sword and angels to guard it, didn't he? And who do we have sitting in an empty tomb, dressed in white, asking Mary why she's weeping? Angels. Jesus, though mistaken as a gardener, asked her, "Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And for the third time, she states that his body's been taken. And she says, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Then he calls her by name. And instantly she recognized the risen Lord, her teacher, her friend. It's a wonderful thing how Christ called her by name. He knows her. He sees her. Peter and the unnamed disciple left the garden without supporting her, without acknowledging her pain. But Jesus sees. He sees her and he loves her and he calls her by name. Morning, he calls us out of darkness into new life. He knows you. He sees you. He loves you. He really sees you as you really are. He sees your hurts, your disappointments, your resentments. He sees your hopes, your dreams, and your desires of your heart. He sees you. He loves you as you are. The first garden story ends with Joseph, with Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden. The second garden story ends this morning with Mary being sent out on assignment to go tell the others the good news. The resurrection of Christ is the beginning of the recreation. Jesus says in says that I am making everything new. By everything, He means us as well. His resurrection, life, and power are available to us if we want them. John's Gospel says in John 3:17 and 18, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God does not condemn us. He loves us. He has reconciled us to Himself because of Christ's death on the cross. The song this morning we sang, been the one on the left. Been the one on the right. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. The resurrection of Christ is a turning point in history. It's when God and Christ began recreating this world. But I got news for you. He's not done yet. He's going to heal it. He's going to wipe every tear from every eye. There'll be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the order of things is now going to pass away. The fact that Christ was raised from the dead means that He has overcome death. He had to endure death. He had to go through it and experience it in order to overcome it. He took it on. He endured it. He defeated it. Death itself has been defeated. And since death has been defeated, we no longer need to live in the fear of death. This morning, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy to be destroyed. Christ returns. He'll make all things new. Everything will be made whole. Death will be destroyed, not just defeated. It'll be gone, obliterated, no more existence. And that's going to be a wonderful day. But this morning, it's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. Christ is alive. He is risen. God is recreating the world through Him, and God wants to recreate the world through calls you by name. There's nothing to fear, not even death itself. Death has been defeated and new life offered to each of us. Christ, this morning, rose from the grave to new life. That same new life is offered to us. We have no reason to fear death. We celebrate new life. Christ's resurrection. Isn't it wonderful to know today that you have been given that new life? All you have to do is accept it. This morning, Christ offered us something that only He can give us. gift that we are to do as Mary did and go tell everybody about and to share it. And invite them to accept the most wonderful gift ever given to us. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's risen. He's no longer in the grave. Aren't you glad this morning? I so look forward to Easter. So many great things. But I'm so thankful today that He called me by name. That I accepted that new life through Him. This morning I hope you've accepted that new life in Christ. If not, wouldn't today be a great day to start? Accept that grace that God has given. The chains are gone. You're set free. You're a new creation in Christ. I want to thank you all for being here this morning. I know it's earlier than normal this year, but I love it. A little cloudy outside, taking away from our sunrise, but it's a beautiful day in God's house. Morning, if you'll stand with me this morning. So thankful to our visitors who are here with us today. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Don't leave. Please don't leave. I don't know what time those guys got here this morning, but they've been cooking breakfast, I know, for at least almost 2 hours probably. Join us for breakfast. Join us for time of fellowship. Come right back in here this morning for morning worship, where we're going to continue to praise God and to worship Christ this morning on this Easter Sunday. Would you bow with me in prayer as we close this service this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we are so thankful, Lord, today that you have defeated death, that you have risen from the grave. Lord, I ask this morning, Lord, as we continue on with our day this morning in a time of fellowship, Lord, did you just bless each minute that we're together? Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, today for all that you have done for us, for all your many blessings, for allowing us to be here this morning to worship you, to give you the praise and honor and glory you deserve, Lord, for what you have done for us. For you called us from death to life. Lord, in the Garden of Eden, started with life and ended with death. And today, we start with death and end with new life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful for that saving grace. We're so thankful for the blood that was shed on the cross for the covering of our sins. We thank you for loving us as we are. You called us by name into new life. Lord, I ask this morning as we go forward today that you would bless the meal as we partake of our breakfast this morning in a time of fellowship. You bless the hands that prepared it, bless the nourishment of our bodies. Be with us. Let your Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct everything else we say and do today. We're asking all in the precious and holy name.